Welcome to day 163 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We are reading in the Amplified Bible this week, and today we will cover 1 Kings chapter 7 and 2 Chronicles chapter 4, which cover similar time frames in history of Israel, and we're in the point where King Solomon is reigning in Israel, and he has completed the temple, and he is now working on building his own house, which will be a magnificent palace, again covered with much gold and ornate, costly stones, which will be a wonder, as well as the temple in Israel and in the known world at that time. So beginning at 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all of it. He built also the Forest of Lebanon house. Its length was 100 cubits, its breadth 50, and its height 30 cubits, upon four rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above the side chambers that were upon the 45 pillars, 15 in a row. There were window frames in three rows, and window opposite window in three tiers. All the doorways and windows were square cut, and window was opposite window in three tiers. He also made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 30 cubits. There was a porch in front, and pillars and a cornice before them. He made the porch for the throne where he was to judge, the porch of judgment. It was covered with cedar from floor to ceiling. His house where he was to dwell had another court behind the porch of judgment of similar work. Solomon also made a house like this porch for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had married. All were of costly stones, hewn according to measure, sawed with saws back and front, even from foundation to coping, and from the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, even great stones of 8 and 10 cubits. And above were costly stones hewn according to measure and cedar timbers. Also, the great encircling court had three courses of hewn stone and a course of cedar beams. Like was around the inner court of the house of the Lord and the porch of the house. King Solomon brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in bronze. He was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill to do any kind of work in bronze. So he came to King Solomon and did all his bronze work. He fashioned the two pillars of bronze, each 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured its circumference. He made capitals of molten bronze to set upon the tops of the pillars. The height of each capital was 5 cubits. Nets of checkerwork and wreaths of chainwork for the capitals were on the tops of the pillars, 7 for each capital. So Hiram made the pillars. There were 2 rows of pomegranates encircling each network to cover the capitals that were upon the top. The capitals that were upon the top of the pillars in the porch were of lily work design, 4 cubits. The capitals were upon the 2 pillars and also above the rounded projection beside the network. There were 200 pomegranates in 2 rows round about, and so with the other capital. Hiram set up the pillars of the porch of the temple. He set up the right pillar and called its name Jachin, he will establish. And he set up the left pillar and called its name Boaz, in strength. On the tops of the pillars was lily work design, so the work of the pillars was finished. he made a round molten sea, 10 cubits from brim to brim, 5 cubits high and 30 cubits in circumference. Under its brim were gourds, encircling the sea, 10 to a cubit. The gourds were in two rows, cast in one piece with it. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 west, 3 south, and 3 east. The sea was set upon them, and all their rears pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was made like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It held 2,000 baths, Hebrew liquid measurement. Hiram made 10 bronze bases for the lavers. Their length and breadth were 4 cubits, and the height 3 cubits. This is the way the bases were made. They had panels between the ledges. On the panels between the ledges were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And upon the ledges there was a pedestal above. Beneath the lions and oxen were wreaths of hanging work. And every base had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and at the 4 corners were supports for a laver. Beneath the laver, the supports were cast with wreaths at the side of each. Its mouth within the capital projected upward a cubit, and its mouth was round like the work of a pedestal, a cubit and a half. Also, upon its mouth were carvings, and their borders were square, not round. Under the borders were 4 wheels, and the axles of the wheels were one piece with the base, and the height of a wheel was a cubit and a half. The wheels were made like a chariot wheel. Their axles, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all cast. There were 4 supports to the 4 corners of each base. The supports were part of the base itself. On the top of the base, there was a circular elevation, half a cubit high, and on the top of the base, its stays and panels were of one piece with it. And on the surface of its stays and its panels, Hiram carved cherubim, lions, and palm trees, according to the space of each, with wreaths round about. Thus he made 10 bases. They all had one casting, one measure, and one form. Then he made 10 lavers of bronze. Each laver held 40 baths and measured 4 cubits. And there was one laver on each of the 10 bases. He put the bases, 5 on the south side of the house and 5 on the north side, and he set the sea at the southeast corner of the house. Hiram made the lavers, the shovels, and the basins. So Hiram finished all the work that he did for King Solomon on the house of the Lord. The 2 pillars and the 2 bowls of the capitals that were on top of the 2 pillars and the 2 networks to cover the 2 bowls and the 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals that were upon the pillars, the 10 bases and the 10 lavers on the bases, 1 sea and the 12 oxen under it, the pots, the shovels, and the basins. All these vessels which Hiram made for King Solomon in the house of the Lord were of burnished bronze. In the Jordan plain, the king cast them in clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because they were so many. The weight of the bronze was not found out. Solomon made all the other vessels of the Lord's house, the incense altar of gold, the table of gold for the showbread, the lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the right and 5 on the left, in front of the Holy of Holies, with the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, the cups, snuffers, basins, spoons, fire pans of pure gold, and the hinges of gold for the doors of the innermost room, the Holy of Holies, and for the doors of the holy place. So all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was completed. Solomon brought in the things which David, his father, had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels, and put them in the treasuries of the Lord's house. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. Also Solomon made an altar of bronze, its top 20 by 20 cubits and its height 10 cubits. Also, he made a round sea of molten metal, 10 cubits from brim to brim and 5 cubits high, and a line of 30 cubits measured around it. Under it were figures of oxen, encircling it 10 to a cubit. The oxen were in two rows, cast in one piece with it. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking north, 3 west, 3 south, and 3 east, and the sea rested upon them, and all their hind parts were inward. Its thickness was a handbreadth. Its brim was like the brim of a cup, like the flower of a lily. It held 3,000 baths measures. He made also 10 lavers in which to wash, and put 5 on the right south side and 5 on the left north. Such things as they offered for the burnt offering, they washed in them, but the sea was for the priests to wash in. And he made 10 golden lampstands, as directed, and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 each on the right and left sides, and 100 basins of gold. Moreover, he made the priests' court, and the great court, and doors for the court, and overlaid their doors with bronze. And he set the sea at the southeast corner of the house. And Huram made the pots, shovels, and basins. So Huram finished the work of God's house that he did for King Solomon. The two pillars, the bowls, the capitals on top of the two pillars, and the two networks to cover the two bowls of the capitals on top of the pillars, and 400 pomegranates for the two networks. 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the two bowls of the capitals upon the pillars. He made also bases or stands and lavers upon the bases, 1 sea and the 12 oxen under it, the pots, shovels, and flesh hooks, and all their equipment. Huram, his trusted counselor, made of burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. In the plain of the Jordan, the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zeredah. Solomon made all these things in such great numbers that the weight of the bronze was not computed. And Solomon made all the vessels for the house of God, the golden altar also, and the tables for the showbread, the bread of the presence, and the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold, to burn before the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, as directed, the flowers, lamps, and tongs of purest gold, the snuffers, basins, dishes for incense, and fire pans of pure gold, and for the temple entry, the inner doors for the most holy place, and the doors of the holy place were of gold. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Today's Bible passages gave us an interesting walk through King Solomon's amazing building projects, and he had many of them. We heard previously about Solomon's building of the temple for the Lord, and today's Bible passages took us through the building of his own house, which took 13 years, nearly twice as long as what he spent building the temple, partly because the temple had been prepared for by King David, having amassed the very large amounts of building materials that would be required for that project, and Solomon's own house was not prepared for in that same manner. And in the case of the temple, there was an urgency to get that finished, whereas Solomon building his own palace and other buildings wasn't quite as an urgent matter, but his building of his own house, as it was referred to here, and the Forest of Lebanon house, which is also called the Palace of the Forest of Lebanon, was actually a big administrative complex, so to speak, because you heard that part of it was the Hall of Justice, and it was the place where the Porch of Judgment was, where Solomon had a throne from which he would judge, and people would bring him these very difficult cases, etc. And we also heard about the different parts of the building. There was a large court, and then there was a part of the building was for living quarters, and part of it was for most likely other administrative buildings, and a big assembly hall, which was a public building as well. So this large complex that we heard about today was quite an amazing building undertaking that Solomon engaged in, and it was a place where there was a great gathering place for the needs of the nation. But one thing that I want to bring to your attention was a man that King Solomon hired to do some of the very special work that had to be accomplished. And we heard about it in both of these chapters that we read today. Here in 1 Kings chapter 7, it says this: King Solomon brought Hiram from Tyre. And it goes on to tell that he was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali. So his mother was of Hebrew origin, but his father was a man of Tyre. So Tyre and Sidon, he was most likely a Sidonian. And this man named Hiram was a worker in bronze. But it wasn't that I wanted to bring your attention to. In that verse, which is the 14th verse of 1 Kings 7, it says about Hiram, he was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill to do any kind of work in bronze. So he came to King Solomon and did all his bronze work. But not only did he do the bronze work, he also did some of the gold work without covering all these altars and tables in the temple with gold, and doors with gold, and many other things that were made out of gold. So not only bronze, he also worked in gold. So here was this man named Hiram, and he was so renowned because of his skill in working in bronze that Solomon brought him from a foreign country to do the work for him, both in the temple and also in his own palace and the big administrative buildings that he was building. To me, there's something very unique about this. King Solomon had at his disposal all of the Israelites, and every single person in the nation would have happily come and served the king to do this work. And yet King Solomon brought this man named Hiram all the way from Tyre. And yet, why was this? He was so skilled, so known for his skill, so renowned for his abilities, that it came to his attention and he was sought out by the king of Israel. But I love the words here in verse 14 about Hiram. He was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill to do any kind of work in bronze. I want to bring that to your attention today because there are many people that God has given very specific talents and gifts to. Many people. And they may not think much of their own skill, and yet God himself gave them this gift, gave them the talent that they have. And God himself wants every single one of us, with whatever gift we have been given, whatever it is, whether you are artistic like this man, whether you are skilled in administrative duties, and that is a very important skill in our day, whether you are very gifted in computers, in IT, or in something of that realm, that's a very needed skill today. Whatever your skill is, whether it's a musical skill, whether you're gifted in medicine or in teaching, or in whatever area of life, You have a gift that God has given you, and you are unique in what your gifting is. And it's important for us as believers not to discount or think in a very negative way about what God has given to us. You may think more highly of someone else's gift, and yet that's not what God gave you. You need to find out what it is that you're good at and honor that gift that God gave you. You remember the story that Jesus told, the parable of the people who were given the talents. And that word talent didn't mean gifts or talents like I'm talking about with this man in this story, but it did refer to money. And it referred to that one of the people who was given a certain thing by his master, this money, talents was a measure of money at that time, he buried it. And another one took what the few talents he was given and he went and invested it. And the third man also. And they all came back at the end. And the master asked them what they had done with the talents that they had been given. And the one with the five told him he had doubled it. The one with the three doubled his. But the one who had been given one buried it and came and unburied it and gave it back to the master and said, I kept it safe. And that was it. And that master in the parable Jesus told called him, you wicked servant. And why did he call him, you wicked servant? He did not take what was given to him and utilize it to the maximum capacity. And I want to say to you, whatever your gift is in life, whatever your skill is, whatever your natural ability is, don't discount it as nothing. I want to encourage you to use it to the maximum capacity. Don't look at it as undesirable. If God gave that to you and you're good at that thing, then go after that. Study, do more, do whatever it takes to try to develop that gift to the maximum. Obviously, this man, Hiram, that we read about today, did exactly that. He developed the natural skill the Lord had given him through diligence, through application of his gift, and he enhanced that gift, and his artistry became well known to the point that a king from another nation called for him to come and use his gift for the temple of God and also for his own palace. That is having your gift come bring you before great men, as the proverb we read just recently told us. God wants you to use whatever gift you have for his glory. You may use it in a most secular workplace. That is fine. God wants your gift to bring you before great men because it gives you a platform to share the love of God wherever that gift brings you, to whatever nation, to whatever workplace, to whatever corporate setting it may bring you. It puts you somewhere that is unique, that allows you to share and the love of God with people who may never have such a witness brought before them, except that you have come there because you have a gift that you've developed, that you've allowed God to breathe on, increase, anoint for his purpose. Don't feel like what you have is little. The one with that one talent that buried it in the ground, he never did what was pleasing to his master. We don't want to be like that. We want to be the servant that God can use because he says, if you're faithful with a little, he'll give you more. He'll increase what you have. And this is an important word. I feel like there are people listening to me today that have gifts and skills that they're not using at all. You could say they shelve them. They put them on the shelf because maybe you weren't interested in pursuing it, or maybe you dreamed of doing something else, and yet you have a gift that you are not putting to use. You have a talent, you have a skill, you have an ability. And God wants to breathe on that. You know, when God takes his supernatural and breathes the supernatural onto your natural ability, the two together make it an anointing versus just a talent. When God breathes on a human gift, he anoints it. It brings it to a new level. It makes your gift able to accomplish more than you could just by yourself. And that's what God wants to do with whatever gift you have. Maybe you have a skill, but it's not being utilized in the work that you're doing, that you do in your daily life that earns you a paycheck. I want to encourage you, find a way to utilize that skill, whether it's in volunteer service for the church or offering it to your employer that he's never even realized you had that ability. God wants to do something with the gift he's given you. And I feel like there are people that have given up hope that their gift could ever be used because they needed to earn a living and do something different. God can still breathe on that gift that you haven't put to use and bring it to the forefront in your life, and then eventually utilize it to even be what brings in your bread and butter, so to speak, that where it becomes your tent making, what produces income for you on a weekly basis as well. But you have to do something with it. Obviously, this man named Hiram, who came from Tyre, worked hard to develop the skill that he had been given. He was diligent. He applied himself. He learned everything he could possibly learn about working in bronze, working in gold, doing these special things that would eventually bring him into a king's court. God wants that for you. He wants to bring you before great men, as the proverb says. He wants that because he wants to have his people in very strategic places as witnesses for the love and the goodness of God. And there are people who have never heard the gospel, even in the United States, and will never hear the gospel. They'll never turn on a radio, Christian radio show. They'll never turn on a Christian TV show. They will never step into a church. But someone in a workplace may be able to witness to them, and that may be the only witness of Christ that they ever experience. And you can be that person. But let the Lord utilize the gifting you have been given. This man, the scripture said, was full of wisdom, understanding, and skill to do any kind of work in bronze. Who would have ever thought his work in bronze would bring him before kings? And so it did, and bring him into the service of the Lord. I'm sure he never thought of it when he was living in the land of Tyre, working in bronze and making chariot wheels for someone. But no, his gift, because he utilized it, he no doubt prayed, he no doubt pursued diligently, becoming the best in his field, it brought him before King Solomon. And then his work was also before many heads of nations who visited Solomon's palace and visited the temple. His work was there displayed before heads of state, before kings, because he allowed the Lord to bless the gifting that was in his life. You have a gift. Find out what it is. If you don't know what it is, ask someone, what am I good at that I'm not realizing or I'm not understanding? There's no doubt someone's told you, wow, you're really good at that. But maybe you've never taken that and pursued that. You've just fell into a certain line of work and it may not even be of interest to you, but it pays your bills. God wants to use the gift he's given you, the gift that's in you, the talent that's in you. And he's given every person a gift, every person, including you. And he wants you to be a blessing to multitudes of people through that gift. And if you will be diligent with it and you'll present it to the Lord, he'll breathe on that and he'll bring his supernatural upon your natural, and you will see amazing things happen with the gifting that God's placed upon your life. Let me just encourage you with these words as we close that were written by S.D. Gordon. He said, "We have nothing to do with how much ability we've got or how little, but with what we do with what we have. God gives it, much or little. Our part is to be faithful, doing the level best with every bit. And we will be if Jesus' Spirit controls." Be one that yields yourself to the Spirit of the Lord and let him do something wonderful with the gift he's given to you. God bless you and have a great week.